All right. Okay. Welcome and thank you all for coming. As you see on the sign-in sheet, we have a lot of members of this Student Health Advisory Committee. And so just to give, well, I'm already going out of order. But first of all, I have to record the meeting. So the meeting is being recorded. This presentation and the audio recording will be posted online. Not today, but probably tomorrow. So the Student Advisory Committee, we are called to meet four times a year. We did already have one brief meeting between myself, food service, John Matthews, and the lead nurse, just to have a few things that we needed to have started and approved before the start of the school year completed. We did that part. So we will review the lunch menu part again today, just because we didn't have the full group. All right, so we're gonna do just quick introductions. Not that many of us here. Some of the members may come in. I know that Ms. Gomez, which is the lead nurse, is not able to be here today, but normally she will be here as well. I am Daniela Ogunderi. I am the Director of Student Services. For those who have known me, I have been in and out of the district. I used to be at the high school. Last year when I returned, I was over TOC and PEAMS. This year, I'm still over those things, but an additional role was added. So now the title has changed. I'm the Director of Student Services. So I'm over the nurses, the counselors, the district safety. If you'd like to be on the district safety committee, let me know. What did I say? Nurses, counselor, safety, PEAMS, TOC achievement, discipline. So I have a lot under my role. But this, the health advisory committee falls with that counselor, falls with the nurses, falls with safety. So that is why I'm here and representing multiple groups. All right, so in partnership, you know, with our strategic goals, the SHAC committee is part of our goal 3.2, which is ensuring community engagement and satisfaction. So with, well, I'll tell y'all in just a minute, but I'll tell you how our community members are invited. So first, let's do just some member introductions, because I don't know all faces, so that I can just put a name and a face. And we'll just start here.
I'll start. Erica Cantwell, principal at Legacy Early College.
Kimberly Jordan, teacher at Legacy.
And if y'all have any kids or anything in the district, let me know that too.
Rainey Dishman, teacher at Main Street.
Blythe Cavender, first grade teacher at Main Street. I have children, just not in this district.
Sarah Martin, high school teacher. And I have a fifth grader at Main Street.
And you are over the health science pathway, which totally falls into this realm.
I'm Rita Beaumont. I am a special education teacher at MSC, and I also have a third grader.
I'm Helga Caswell, administrative assistant to child nutrition, and I have a senior at Taylor High School.
Lindsay Gage, director of child nutrition. No kiddos in the district.
Okay, and I apologize now because I always put for food service instead of child nutrition, so I will go back and change my wording. So today on our, thank y'all for being here. And then on the agenda that we have today, we're gonna go over just a few things that we didn't talk about in our first meeting, but some things that we already had in place that were discussed last year. And then we have a couple of new things that we need to discuss, which is a health, I think on here I put puberty talk, but I found the new name or the correct name after I wrote that. But it's the health and human sexuality talk. So we do need to talk about that one, and but I'll discuss that later. And then bylaws. Currently, I cannot find the bylaws. Okay, so on the roll call, quorum. This committee has changed as far as what some of the requirements are, and they do require a quorum, and they do require certain members to be on the They do require certain members. At the minimum, I can have five members. members on the committee. So right now we have a lot, and maybe I need to dwindle it down so that we can make a quorum by less than 17. But what we had was we had the principals nominate or submit names of staff members, teachers, parents. The nurses are on there. The counselors are on there. But what's required is that, one, myself, that I have at least one admin, I have at least one teacher, and I have at least one parent. So right now, unless that's a parent, which I don't think so, because I look like a Taylor ISD badge. But you can't be a parent and a teacher. And so I went over that with the principals, because the principals had listed several staff members, and they were like, ooh, I can take the staff member, they could be the teacher and the parent, but the bylaws, the national bylaws say that a staff member or teacher cannot be represent a parent.
So,
they
have to be a parent that is not employed by the district.
Correct. So we will have this meeting. I will post it, but it will say that I didn't meet quorum for our meeting. And so I don't know how that affects them. I think we should still be okay, but I'm going to have to check. Because we already approved it beforehand, but I will still have to check on anything that we approve. We can have a meeting, but it's certain things that have to have certain approval and a quorum has to be met in order to have that. So I will work on it and
do
see.
Do you have parents that are signed up?
We do, but they're just not here. And I sent a reminder too yesterday. Now, for the staff members, I think I sent the email, well, the names that I had, I sent emails, but you can't tell because I had put blind copy. But the parents, all the parents that I had sent them a Shack invitation letter. Mm-hmm. It didn't say it was required. It just said that. But I'm going to reach back out to everyone because the next meeting is in January. So I'll reach back out to everyone again and just, you know, try my hardest to get them here. You know, I don't know. Maybe have some pizza or something.
I
have yes.
a question. If they're employed by Sodexo and are a parent, would that qualify?
So that would work because it's not a Taylor.
So in the future, we could have Holly O'Brien. She's the FSM for Sodexo, and she has a child in the district.
Okay. Will you just email me her email address or information? Okay. So one thing I did print for you all was the... this is the most up-to-date school health advisory committee manual or national bylaws. And so we will make a bylaw based, well, I will make a bylaw based on that. I will bring it, I'll share it with the entire committee, let y'all review it on your own, and we'll come back. And then if y'all have any suggestions, recommendations, anything that we need to change, we could do it as a group. I don't want to do it here because that'll just take too much time. All I'm going to do is take, they have templates that we can use as a district. I'll take their template, tailorize it, and then share it out. And then we as a group or whomever can make suggestions. I will also post it on the website because I have to give parents or community feedback, like an opportunity if they want to add anything. So, but for those who don't know it, this is your first time being on the committee. The main goal of this committee is the students' health and safety. Well, more than health, but it falls into the safety. And so if there's anything that we can do to assist the school district in improving or creating or reviewing a curriculum that will impact the student health, that's what we do here. And then we will, if we have any recommendations, then I take it to the board and we present it to the board. So like one, when we talk about that health and human sexuality, that one is something that I have to take to the board. So, but I'll talk about that in a minute. And then we will work together to recommend any health programs, locate any health services, create any food service programs, or share, well, it says share any federal or state funds, but we don't have any funds. But yes, but we will work together on all of that with the school board if we have any recommendations or suggestions. And so normally John Matthews will be here and he will assist us too in that. I did invite Impact Counseling and CIS, but I guess they were unable to make it either. And then, so I just mentioned earlier the parent involvement. So what we did is I sent it out to principals and then principals made recommendations based on their campus. They know their families and parents, and most of them pick like their PTO president, whoever, and then they shared it with me, or they know that the parents that are truly interested in joining. And I said all of that. All right, so old business, one of the things, I don't know, it should have been done in this committee, not 100% sure. I went through Ms. Fink. She was the advisory committee chair prior to Ms. Mahler. So I went through all of her agendas, went through Ms. Mahler agendas, but some of the programs and partnerships under the student health that we have created or we are partnering with are impact counseling. So every campus has an impact counselor, except TOC, but I'm working on that. And then we have, they have an do y'all have it at the elementary? Y'all have an impact counselor? We have it at the secondary. I mixed up the two. Communities and schools, everyone has someone on their campus except TOC. The high school CIS person comes over. Impact counseling, secondary and high school have it. I don't know.
My daughter was in impact counseling last year in middle school, yes.
So the impact counseling, we have it at secondary and middle school, and then TOC, the lady comes once a week. But those services, if you need an impact counselor at the elementary, it's easy. The counselor will call an impact counselor to come over. An impact counselor? Okay. Was it Miss like Turlin or Candy Gaddison?
I just knew her intern.
Okay, yeah, well, they had an intern, but then CIS had an intern too. The middle school CIS has an intern. I need to check on that. That's now, I know CIS, but now I can't think of elementary have impact, but I don't think so. The other thing that we have done, and the state requires it too, is that we have those behavior threat assessment teams. So right now on every campus, there should be at least one admin, one counselor, one SPED. Those are required. Those three people are required. One SPED person, one counselor, and one admin to do behavior threat assessments. I recommend that they train more, because if any of those people are off campus, then it can't be done. So, or we have to pull somebody else from a different campus to come over and do it. And so the last training that was just held with Region 13 was October 3rd, but on the Texas Safety Center website, there is another class that's virtual, that's longer and more detailed, because you can't click off the screen, that some staff members can do. And then there's another one that's in December. As soon as that staff member has completed it, then they're provided a certification, the certificate comes to me, and then I put them in Sentinel. So the state now requires that we use this program called Sentinel. And that is so that we could keep track of all these kids that have behavior threat assessments at different schools. So just thinking of a high school, I remember that was being recorded. So say if a student transfers from one district to another, then now with Sentinel, it will follow. So we don't have to do anything. So say Lisa Joe was in Hutto and had a threat assessment, and then now she's worried that, okay, kids are gonna talk about me, they're gonna pick on me, they're gonna think I'm a threat. And then she transfers to Taylor ISD. Well, now that threat assessment will follow. It will send me an alert, and whoever else, right now I know it's me, I don't know who else is on that, receives those alerts. We will receive an alert that let me know that this student just transferred into your school. It is automatic. It downloads every night, and then I will notify whatever campus, and that campus will have access to that student's threat assessment. The issue is that students were transferring from school to school, and people were not knowing that, hey, they just had this big blow up at this other school, and then now they're over at your school. But it is to keep all campuses and all administrators aware of what's going on with a student, so we can provide the correct support and safety plan. Yes.
So are threat assessments, students, are they making them to other students or about themselves? Or
both. It goes either way. So there's a questionnaire that there's a screener the counselor or the admin has to fill out first, and it'll ask, is a threat against the student themselves, or is it against others? And then it'll even ask, is it against like a teacher or whatever? So that's an entire screener, and then it'll tell you to proceed with the next step, and then you have to put in like what's your plan of action, who was all contacted, parent was contacted, what resources were provided to the student afterwards, and then there's follow-ups. But yes, it's multiple things. All right, so the other thing in the SHAC committee, we are to approve curriculums for the social, emotional, and mental health for each campus. Now, I'm assuming all of this has already been approved because these are the current curriculums that each campus is using. So elementary use Leader in Me, middle school is using Second Step, high school use School Connect, and then now this one is new, TChat. Now, it's not really a curriculum, but I just added it because since we are a committee about health advisory, TChat is something I recently incorporated with the counselors, and we had a training on it, one of these PD days that we recently had, and this will allow us to provide mental health services during the school day without the student missing school, and it's free. So if a student, they're trying to get into Blue Bonnet Trails and they haven't been able to get in or they don't have any insurance, well, as long as your counselor sets them up with TChat, now, there's a part the parent has to do. The parent got to go in there and fill out the forms. The TChat will meet virtually with the student. And so they coordinate it all through the counselor and they set a certain date and time and the counselor has to be in the room. Now, the counselor doesn't have to listen to the conversation, but say they talk about something that happened 10 years ago and it triggers a reaction, the counselor has to be nearby to be able to bring the student down. Like, you can't leave the student in the room alone during this virtual counseling session. Yep. They don't do the school counseling aspect of it, but it depends on what's written in the IEP. So sometimes the IEP says 20 minutes of counseling per week. They do their own evaluation and determine how much, but the max that they try to do is 8 weeks. And so SPED counseling normally is longer than that because you only go to R once a year. So if it's something that's going to be needed beyond that 8 weeks, this probably is not the best option. And then if the student needs more intensive support, like psychotropic type therapy, then they will outsource it and not them. And this TChat is through UT. And so they're really good. They're through UT. And if the parents say, well, I want my kid to do it, but I don't want them to do it during the school day, then they set up a time for them to do it with the parent and student at home. But... All right, we have been going through some restorative and trauma-informed practices training as well. I have Step It Up Texas. They meet with the counselors when we have our monthly meetings. And so they've been getting that trauma-informed practice training. They've had two sessions so far this year. And then we use Blue Bonnet Trails for case management. Right now, Blue Bonnet Trails go to TOC Mondays and Tuesdays. But then on Mondays and Tuesdays, they do individual counseling. And we make that for all students that's anything related to drugs. And then on Thursdays, they come and they do a middle school group from 12:30 to 1:30 and a high school group from 1:30 to 2:30. And they just do mental health and they do a group session and the kids have to sign a consent for that. So these are all the current mental health services that we are doing under the counseling realm to assist with the students' mental health. All right, so new business. So the one piece of paper that you have that has 7/8 high school, and I guess I didn't pick up one for myself.
That is, we are using Baylor Scott and White. We purchased their curriculum. So this is Baylor Scott and White's curriculum.
This is their yak on how the curriculum would look. So it is not one of those one day talks. It's not like, hey, everybody come to the gym, we talk to you for 20, 30 minutes and then go back to class. It's an entire curriculum that will be incorporated. What will happen is this will go in a middle school. We are deciding between 7th and 8th grade, or Miss Mahler and I. So me and her are going to meet about that. In the past, it was in a success class, and at one time it was in a leadership class, and so we're trying to figure out which the best class for this to be added. There's a new House Bill 12, which requires consent. So then we gotta get everybody in the class to have consent. If they do not have consent, then they have to find an alternate assignment or location for the kids to go whenever they're teaching these lessons. And so we are working on that, and working on a timeline. Like, do we wanna move this to the end of the year after start test? And then they, I don't know. So anyway, her and her team are looking at it. I sent them I can't share it because it has copyrights right now. It says draft on it. So I sent her campus the draft of the 7th and 8th grade curriculum manual, and then we can come back to it. I think I am able to print it to share here. They just said, they said I can't copy it. So I don't know. But we will come back in January and discuss it. I'm going to share what I can with the committee so that y'all can look at it. And then if you have questions or concerns that we can all discuss as a group in January, then we can do that. But I'm gonna ask for clarification on what part I can share out. I probably will have to just put a little clause to say you cannot reproduce, copy, use this. But I can tell you every page got a big watermark across it to say draft. So even if you wanted to, you can't. But I will share that with the committee. Just know that this is the YAG and the topics that they will cover. I will also have to post this online. It's required.
The decision you said about which class will this committee or a different committee?
Her campus. I'm gonna let the principal of the middle school decide which one. They do not anymore. So we would have done this in health, but they have removed it. So that's another discussion we talked about, is putting the health back, because we could use that for high school credit too and give another elective. Yeah, because a lot of the schools just added this in health, and then in, we don't know. I'm telling vaping is just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, and it's not just Taylor. I mean,
it's everywhere.
But it's really bad. I'm sorry, man, but it's really bad at Taylor Middle School. The only time it calmed down was when we had the police department and the dog going like every week in March and April of last year. And it finally calmed down. Well, you can't go to the bathroom because someone's smoking in the bathroom vaping.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
I can tell you right now, TLC, that's all it is. It's vapes and, you know. It's a struggle everywhere. We have a few different programs and prevention, but it also takes, like, parents assisting us with this at home, because it's like you can tell them and then they come right back. It's like, okay, how are you purchasing this? All right. I will now turn this over to child nutrition.
Bright Bites is considered our elementary campuses, so you will see both breakfast and lunch menus. Main Street and Posman run the same menus. Johnson also runs the same menu, but it is slightly different because we have different, more strict requirements for pre-K children, so that is why you'll see instance, those children can't have that. And then I do want to touch base on the high school menu because it is a little bit confusing. The high school menu is the one that says taste four on it for lunch. And you'll see that their high school has like over 25 offerings every day. So it's impossible to print the entire menu on a nice readable, legible thing like this. So we just picked to show you our adventure line. Every day there is multiple pizzas. There is burgers, chicken sandwiches, chicken nuggets, all kinds of things, nachos, build your own bars. The adventure line is a build your own bar. So where it looks like we're serving a baked potato every day for a week, what that is called Tater Temptations. And they can pick their base, which could be a baked potato, it could be a tater tot, it could be a french fry. And they can build their own toppings with all these different things. And we rotate through a build your own bar, and then the next week we run Texas favorites, which could be something like lasagna or enchiladas or something like that, and then we do a different build your own bar. So that's why it looks like super repetitive, but they can make it however they want, kind of like Chipotle with a build your own bar. We do run 6-week menu cycles, so we will run a menu and then it will repeat itself. And then when we come back in January, we will make certain changes. We kind of have like a winter menu and a summer type menu. And we tweak a few things and sub things in and out. Does anyone have any questions about these? And of course, we run breakfast in the classroom at all campuses except for Taylor High School and Legacy. So Taylor High School does have several items listed for breakfast, and so would Legacy as well, because kids get to choose, whereas in breakfast in the classroom, it is one item available.
So that's something, I teach at Main Street, we do our breakfast in the classroom, and I had a parent reach out and ask about breakfast and kind of, you know, what's being served, what kind of things are their student eating here at school, and I was like, well, today they had, you know, Fruit Loops and an apple juice and milk. And the parent, well, was there any protein included in that meal? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, there's protein in the milk, you know, trying to find positive. And then I've also had, you know, students, like today we had pizzas. It didn't happen today, but it's happened on some of the other hot entrees where the plastic wrap is like melted to the food.
Okay.
So these are just kind of things that I worry about. And, you know, not just kind of the highly processed, like the Fruit Loops and stuff today, I'm not seeing that a lot of this food will stick with them, so to say, for 4 hours until we get to lunch.
So when it comes to protein at breakfast, we run the National School Lunch Program here, which is, you know, guidelines from the USDA. And while I'm not telling you I agree with it, for some reason there is no protein requirement at breakfast, which you might think is strange, right? I also believe that it is strange, but I don't work for USDA. So there is protein requirements at lunch, but not at breakfast. The main requirement at breakfast is grains.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why you're going to see heavy breads, heavy
mm-hmm.
cereals. Even when we serve cereal, we're probably serving, depending on all the different sides, it might have an additional grain with it, like a graham cracker or something. So that is the requirement at breakfast. We do try to flip-flop back and forth between 2 proteins 1 week, and then the next week, 3 proteins. So while it's not that we're not allowed to serve a protein, we have to fit under all of our trans fat, our sodium levels, and everything like that. And if you put a sausage link on every morning, you'll be way over in sodium, and we won't be able to be, they won't be reimbursable meals anymore. So we can't serve it every single day. Like I said, I don't necessarily agree. That's just how it's built.
And there's no sugar.
So there is recently a sugar requirement that actually just started this year. So when you see a Pop-Tart, it looks exactly like the Pop-Tart at HEB, but it is slightly different. It is only one instead of two. It has less sugar, and it is a whole grain Pop-Tart. That is also the same with Fruit Loops. We try to make, I don't make Fruit Loops, but the Fruit Loops company, we try to make it look exactly like the one, because if all over it's plastered reduced sugar, kids aren't going to want it anymore. Right?
Like the chips back in the day when they used to say baked, nobody wanted the baked chips.
Right.
But
so
what about Red Bull?
I'm sorry?
Red Bull. Because I've heard a couple of times that they had like Red Bull at the high school.
High school only is allowed to have Red Bull small, sugar-free. It's an 8 ounce. Yes, only at high school can they have that. No other grade group can have that.
But it's sugar-free?
It is sugar-free, yes.
And it's the small ones. When you talk about your small,
Your 6 week rotation, that what you said?
Yes.
Is your Friday pizza in the elementary, is that, does that stay consistently throughout the year?
That,
is that
does.
Part of your 6 week? Okay.
That does stay consistently throughout the year. We used to do that a long time ago and we went away from it, and that was a lot of the feedback that we were given, is that they love Pizza Friday.
Great.
Okay. So we kept it.
Your kids.
And on elementary schools, Bright Bites is new this year. And if you notice, every day there is a home cooked scratch item. So it is not freezer to oven.
Yes.
So there's something like lasagna. It might be next to something like a chicken nugget, which we're not breading and frying ourselves,
yeah,
right?
No, yeah.
But every day there's going to be a home baked made from scratch item against a non. And so that's something new we're trying this year. And those home baked items are going like crazy. The kids are loving it.
I think you're doing very well.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Let me please put that on there. I just had some questions as a parent and as a teacher, like the pizza, that was it. So
yeah.
Thank you so much, I appreciate this.
I have a question. I know in the elementary we're really good about watching the kids with, you know, no peanut butter, no this, no that.
Right.
But I was wondering also in the high school, how difficult is it for, let's say, we have a lot of kids who are getting, you know, borderline pre-diabetics. The kids are, you know, thin or whatever, but they're diabetic or they have to eat some food. How difficult is it for us to let the food service know that this child needs special needs?
So unless something is in a student's 504 plan, other than milk, we always have multiple items of milk, including lactose-free milk, available to students. If someone has something like a gluten-free, or for instance, at a campus, we have a student who in their 504 plan has to have almond milk. It does have to be in a student's 504 plan in order for us to be allowed to accommodate.
With the doctor's permission?
So I don't know how 504 plans come about. I'm not part of that committee, but I'm assuming it starts off with
kind of
a
medical
from a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there's a committee, I think a 504 plan committee that has to.
Well, all I know that today, I noticed today the little thing that had all everything labeled, which is great because the elementary kids just point.
Oh, yeah, we just started the
labeling. Today I'm like, oh, what's this? This looks, it was so neat because it had everything was labeled. All the
yes.
Was labeled, all the entrees were labeled. I'm like, what did this happen? And the girls at TV, I'm like, oh, okay, it's great.
Yeah, we just
started. The kids are like, looking at it like, too, they know, they're like, we're the last ones to eat, my fifth graders. So they're like, what's this? I said, read. That's what you do, read. See, that's it. That's what. Now, look, point your finger. Say, may I have a pear? May
right.
I have some peaches? May I have a banana?
Yes.
Instead of, you know, just pointing your fingers, which the little ones do all the time.
Yes, we just got that out for elementary. We're working on the secondary.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Oh, good. I'm glad. When it comes to diabetics, yeah, if you go to our menus, I'm sorry, I will get to my problems. If you go to our menus online, there is a calculator where you can calculate, you can go through and it will list every item available. You can say, I ate an apple, I ate a hamburger, I ate this, or this is what the tool the nurses uses, and it will calculate all your carbs, your calories, all of those things. So that's how a parent or a student or a nurse can track for diabetics.
Do we mirror one of these campuses for lunch?
I'm sorry,
by any chance? Legacy?
So Legacy does have their own menu, and I apologize, we didn't print
that
okay. Menu.
It's
gonna come
nice.
Off, it's gonna be items that get pulled off of high school because that is where your food comes from. But unfortunately, you don't have the size serving
right,
area
yeah.
that high school has. So I think we serve three hots and two colds there, something like that around there.
Mm-hmm.
So the manager looks at her menu and pulls certain items that she thinks those students are going to like off Legacy. But on NutriSlice on our website, y'all do now have your own menu. You didn't used to.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Can they, because you say like they pick which the ones they think they would like, can they do like a poll and just say like, hey, these are the items our kids like here?
They can, and we have, we've talked about doing a survey this year. It's been a little bit harder to think of how we're going to do surveys because now
consent forms.
Yes, so we will have to come up with some sort of, I don't remember how we said, maybe an email is how we were going to send
yeah.
it out, I think.
Yeah, like
so I do still need to do that. We do just, the hard part of it is if they just pick all their favorites, it might not fit into the nutritionals.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we have to throw in something because we have to get nutritionals to work. So it can't be a favorite that we can do every time.
My kid would pick pizza every day.
But yeah, last year we had a couple students ask for specific items and we weren't able to do that exact item, but I was like, well, what do you think about an enchilada instead with queso on top? And they loved that. And so that's something we're now serving there regularly. So we do always take student feedback. We have already talked about doing a survey on Legacy though this year.
Mm-hmm. They're good about telling us which ones they like.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, all the grades are.
Yeah.
Okay, I will give them another.
Anything else? Any other questions for child nutrition? Yep.
My question would be like on testing days, like we practice and we practice the star test before our test. We take the whole day. Some of our breakfasts seem kind of slight, like a muffin and a juice before you go take before our test. This doesn't seem like how do we get a heartier breakfast on testing days that we have state accountability for?
So usually with principals, when it comes to testing, we ask what item would you like. And usually we have done kolaches in the past. Sometimes I'm not told about certain tests. Like at the big star testing days, all leadership sits down in the class and thinks about it and we talk about it. Sometimes for those secondary groups, you'll have smaller days, like I don't know what they are.
CBA's interim testing.
Right, mm-hmm. And I do know that last year at Taylor Middle School, I was not informed about one of those days, so we did not serve a protein. I believe we served a blueberry waffle that day, and I did give feedback on it. So as long as I'm aware, I am happy to adjust menus. When it comes to portion sizes, those just are what they are. We can't give double entrees or anything like that.
Even if they pay for it?
If the student pays for it, yes.
But if they don't free or reduce it, you can't?
Correct.
Got it.
We are 70% free, almost district right now, free and reduced. So to ask a student to pick up that extra cost or whatever, you know, they'd have to have funds on their account at the time as well. You can't charge them negative for that. I think the big thing is on testing days like that, ensuring they're taking all of the components. If you are only eating a kolache, yeah, you're gonna be hungry. But if you eat a kolache, you drink the milk, whatever the two fruits are, it's gonna last them a little bit longer.
I'll bring it up in the next principal meeting, so I'll put it on the agenda to make sure that they notify you on certain days with
testing.
Let's say, what do you need? 2 weeks notice, or maybe how long do you need?
2 weeks would be great, just so we can order. And that way, we're not serving it like I can't serve kolache. If it's 2 days in a row, we'd have to pick a kolache and another item.
Just rotate the move the days around. Okay,
yeah.
I'll get with them.
So the only difference, we serve the same portion size regardless. There can be lesser portion sizes served for the lesser grades. Sodexo has chosen to serve the maximum amount at every campus. So a pre-Ker is getting the exact same portion as a 12th grader. We could be serving less to the younger kids. We are choosing not to because we are a 70% free and reduced district. If it's too much for that child, they don't have to eat it. But I can't serve extras at a high school level because we're or at whatever level because we're already serving the maximum.
Fifth graders, like we eat last, and by the time we go, sometimes whatever was on the menu is already gone. So whatever's left is there. So I'm saying because the portions are being used a little. So when we get there,
between a first and a fifth grader, there is no portion difference. It would be like Johnson age group, elementary age group, and then a high school age group. So first through eighth grade are the same portion levels. So that would not, it wouldn't be different for a first grader and a fifth grader. But that is something, if that is happening, I can work with your manager, Selena, and get her to be producing more food. Sometimes it's hard when you serve four entrees. We'll be like, the kids all love chicken nuggets, that's gonna be the big one. And then all of a sudden nobody wants a chicken nugget and everybody wants a cheeseburger. So we do the best that we can.
Remember when they had funding for, like, they would provide snacks for after school tutorials?
It's funding.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, is there some way that we could get that?
Yeah,
or repeat that on, like, the test days?
That's
so
not through.
Snack.
That's not through them. That is on your campus level. Your principals have campus budgets. Some campuses use the campus budget. Some, the PTOs will do it. The PTO mm-hmm. will get together and bring water and snacks and all of that. But that would be, and then every once in a while, like, we'll have, like, star boot camps. Like, last year, yeah. each campus, we received, like, $1,000, and they could use that money to buy the snacks. So, but we haven't made it to that point of the year yet
right.
For that type. But for, like, the intervention and all that stuff right now, that would be out of the campus budget.
So if there is an after-school activity that is considered with enrichment, and it is 30 minutes after the bell rings, I can provide either dinner or snack. Mm-hmm. So that is how we feed flight school. That's, for instance, right. how we feed Boys and Girls Club. Sometimes, like, if MSE usually does a big art thing every year, and we do a hot dog dinner there. So there has to be enrichment, there has to be a roster of the students that are there, and we have to know how many kids, and we actually can, but to be clear, it's not going to be Doritos, it's going to be a child nutrition
right.
Item, and then if it's a short thing, we might just do a snack, if it's a longer dinner, if it is over 2 hours, we can do dinner.
That's why I was asking, because I know it would probably be cheaper to go through
food
services, no, but like, to... The budget that we have as a campus,
it would
right?
be free.
The money would go farther if we know to provide like snacks during testing. Does this make sense?
But she's saying
like, to go
no. She's
service.
Talking about doing testing.
Oh yeah,
but like to use our budget with y'all because the money goes farther.
Probably it depends. Some campuses like MSE typically buy snacks through me. They buy goldfish for testing the small bottled waters, things like that. I think Cosman buys their snacks maybe at Costco or something. So you're always welcome to get pricing through me and to cost it out. Some items, it depends because it's going to come in really large cases if you ask for me. So whether it would be the right option or not. Legacy is a little bit smaller, but it was maybe not.
Gotcha.
So then who probably
right now, they're doing after-school tutorials, but the teacher, it's individual teachers, and they have to have at least three students. Oh, it must have changed recently. But they have to, and the teachers get paid, but the they have to have a minimum of a certain amount of students that stay for the tutorials. But we didn't add, we put funding for the teachers to work it. We did not add snacks to it. No, it's just after school tutorials.
Every day. So it could be something that we do, and if we know who those students are, we could add them to, for instance, at Boston Mary in flight school. We could just add them to that roster of flight school, and they could go get their food along the flight school. That would be an option.
Any other questions for child nutrition? Yep. That has been an issue for years.
So there's nothing we can't force them to eat a tray. They also don't have to get the tray. If they're not going to eat it, you know, like they probably are most likely a free student and aren't paid for that tray. But we cannot force a child to take a reimbursable meal or to eat a reimbursable meal. And we also cannot prevent them from choosing to use their funding at the snack bar either. So I know that this sounds like a crazy thing, but in child nutrition, USDA does have regulations under civil rights. You can't discriminate against a child for being at a certain campus, a certain grade.
one way to look at it. I'm not saying this is happening for all students or maybe even any student, but if a student has $2, it might not, and they're not a student that qualifies for a free reduced meal, they might know that that's not enough money for them to buy a tray, but it is enough money for them to go to the snack bar and purchase baked chips and a bottle of water. While I would not want them to do that, in the child's mind, that might be the only source of food they're getting for that day. So we cannot prevent them from being able to choose to use their funding that way. No, so
as a parent, I'll be honest, I hate it.
Yeah, do we have to have a snack bar?
I hate that we have a snack bar now. Because my own child, I make her lunch every day, and
she still go to the store.
Like, I don't have any more money on my account. I was like, yeah, put it in your lunchbox. Like, because I want to buy cookie and I want to buy chips.
Right.
I have to do what
interests
me. But like, so, I loved when we didn't have it.
So snack bars are contractual currently. The campuses that have snacks, it is in the contract stating that we offer a la carte sales. As a parent, what you can do is put notes on your kid's account. You can prevent them from purchasing snacks. You can put limits on how many snacks. A lot of notes put only on Friday,
mm-hmm.
can only spend $1. As a teacher or as someone who works for child nutrition, I cannot decide what they can and can't, but a parent absolutely can. So in order to do that, you can just reach out to me and Helica, and we can add notes. It comes up as a pop-up on the cashier's thing, and they'll look at me and say, Lindsay, you know, you can only buy, you know, ice cream on Friday, and they won't let them buy ice cream unless it's Friday. So those are the options that you have.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know I was going to be taking over the meeting.
No, no problem.
Time to answer questions.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And I guarantee when this is posted, there will be other parents or community members that here that had the same question.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other questions on child nutrition? All right. So next, the wellness policy. This is going to be due next year. We already have one that is uploaded. And so it's due every 3 years. Is that what we say? It's due. Again, I'll share this with you all, but we don't need to do anything for it. But I will share it so you can just see. And then on our last meeting for the year, we will make updates to it of any actions or improvements that we need to do. All right. And so these are the next meetings. December 9th, March 10th, and May 26th. I kept saying January. Wait a minute. I think of my safety meeting. Okay, my safety meeting is in January. This meeting is in December. Sorry. So we will discuss the curriculum, the health and whatever I said. What was it? I keep calling it the wrong thing. Thank you. That one will be discussed in December. So if you would like to join the safety, that one will be January. But this committee is March 9th, December 9th, March 10th, and May 26th. Same time, same place. And bring a friend. If you see any names on that list that you know and you like, hey, you missed the meeting, join us next time.
Recommend some parents that look
yes. Mm-hmm. The only thing is the names that are on that list have already been approved by the board. SHAC members have to be approved by the board. So any names that I do add, like they can come, they might not be able to vote, but in order to be able to vote, the board has to approve the person. So everyone on that list has been approved by the board. So anyone else that I add at the next board meeting, I just have to bring those names to them, which won't be an issue. So as long as I give them a name and they have not, well, as long as I give them the name, then it will be fine because they will take my recommendation. All right, any questions?
You said there is a copy of bylaws or not currently?
I can't find it. So we will be, they have a template on the national site. So if there is one, I've been going through Ms. Fink's old Google. Yeah, I've been going through her Google Drive trying to find what I can from when she was here. But if I cannot find it, I'm going to use the National Guidelines template and then tailorize it for our school and then share it out for us to talk about. So I'll share it with y'all so that you have time to look at it. So when we come, all we're doing is making any updates or changes. All right, yep. Well, what?
May 26th is the day after Memorial Day.
It's a teacher day for us to come back to school. It's a work day. It's a work day for staff. So what we're gonna do then is just talk about everything for the next year. And if Child Nutrition already have their lunch menu, we will approve their lunch menu then.
Yeah, because usually we're trying to rush right before school starts and the craziness to get it approved.
Mm-hmm. We were just thinking about parents being able to make it, being here.
I can change the. We could talk about changing the time.
Yeah.
You mean the date or the time, yeah, or both?
So, like, if kids are off by then, right?
Mm-hmm. The kids will be off.
So yeah, maybe they might be on vacation and parents won't show up to me. It was just a food.
Yeah, that was common.
Yeah. But if we get one parent.
We don't have to change it. We're just playing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a safety one, too, in the summer. It's just that having all those meetings in August just don't work.
Right.
It's like trying to. We all trying to get all our things together and get all of that approved by the first day of school. It just don't work. And so when we hit July, my calendar is full with PEAMS and admin. So May and June are the best, but I want to make sure that staff members are present. So I don't want to take them from their summer vacation. All right. Any questions? Anything? All right. Thank y'all. I will stop the recording. Now, pause.